Begin the current daf, Masechta Ksubos, daf Mem Zayin. Begin on the bottom line of daf Mem Vav Mem Beis, where the Gemara continues delineating the things that a father has rights in his daughter that's a katana and a naira. And that is the Gemara just explained in the previous daf, the first three items, which are essentially one, that a father has the rights in his daughter's kedushin, whether they be kesef, shtar, or bia. Now the Gemara continues explaining from the Mishnah that said that he's zakai b'mitzayasa, that he also merits in her finding of lost objects. This that she finds goes to her father. So the Gemara explains, what's the reason for that? The reason is mishum eva. It's a rabbinic institution because of enmity, which means to say that since he's not obligated to support her and feed her, if we're going to say that whatever she finds goes to her, he's going to say, wait a second, that's not fair. You get the lost objects you keep and you have all these things that you're finding. Go ahead, support yourself. To avoid that pitfall, they say, okay, look, let him support his daughter and therefore he'll get the mitzias that she finds. Additionally, we said that he gets b'maisiyah dahu. He has the rights in his daughter's earnings. So the Gemara's Manolah, where do we know that from? Why should the father get his daughter's earnings? So the Gemara says, as we've mentioned this a few times, d'amar avuna marav, minayin shemaisa baslav, from where do we know that the daughter's earnings go to the father? Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, it says in the context of Amma Avriya, when a father will sell his daughter as a maidservant. Now the term Bito is compared to Amma, and we make the following comparison. Ma Amma Maisa Dela Rabba, just like by a maidservant. Her earnings go to the master because the master gets whatever this servant has. Avbas Maisa Dela Via, so to a daughter, her earnings also go to her father. Now, so the Gemara asks, the Eimahani Milikatana, maybe say that halacha, that the father gets the earnings of the daughters only when she's a minor, because that is what could be compared to Amma, the Matzi Mazvin law. Because a minor daughter is the type of daughter that could be sold as a maidservant, as an Amma. Ava Naira, the Matzi Mazvin law, but a Naira which cannot be sold as a maidservant, she could only be sold up till age 12, maybe Ma'isi Adaldi Dahava, her earnings should go to herself. But our Mishnah said that the daughter's earnings, whether she's a Katana or a Naira, go to the father. So from comparison to Amma, how do you know regarding a Naira? You should only know regarding a Katana. So the Gemara says, "Mistabrida viyav." It makes logic that the Naira's earnings go to the father. The reason being is because if you would think that a Naira's earnings, let's say between the age of 12 and a half, doesn't go to the father, but then let's take a look for a second. This that the Torah, as we discussed this on the previous daf, from the first three items, that the Torah gave the right to a father to give his daughter over to the chuppah, as the pasuk says in the parasha of Maitzi Shemra, it says, "Isbiti nasati, I have given over my daughter to this man," which seems to include all parts of the giving over. Not just as we proved the kedushin goes to him, but even giving over to the chuppah is the father's rights that he has in his daughter. Now, that includes even a naira, as the parasha Maitzi Shemra is talking about a naira. Now, the day when he gives her over to on the chuppah, the day of the wedding, she's not doing any work. Now, how could he be within his rights to send her down to the chuppah? She's missing work that day. He's making her miss her earnings. If the earnings of the naira was her own, so how does the father have within his rights to make her go to the chuppah? She's been missing a day of work. Obviously, the Gemara is saying, from logic, we could see that the naira's earnings go to the father, and that's why he has the rights to make her go to the chuppah. Now, that the Gemara asks. Rav Achai asks three questions that will disprove this logic. First of all, maybe he actually pays her for the amount of time she's missing at work because she has to go to her own wedding to the chuppah. Who said he doesn't have to compensate her for that? Yes, the father has the rights to get her engaged and marry her off. That's within his rights. But regarding the fact that she's missing work, you're showing that obviously the earnings go to him, not to her. Maybe not. Maybe it's her earnings, but he has to compensate her for that. Or inami, or another way out is the masla b'leilya. He'll marry her off at night time when no one's working. Or inami, the masla b'shabbos yom tovim. He'll marry her off on Shabbos or Yom Tov when there's no work anyway. So he says that there's no raya from svara to say that the naira's ma'aser dam go to the father because how could he have married her off? There's ways to marry her off without running into the problem of that it is the daughter's earnings. Sailor Rav, the Gemara says that this that we had the question from the source that Rav had brought from the comparison of Bito to Amma that we said, wait a second, maybe that comparison is only by a minor because that's the type of daughter that he can make into an Amma, to a maidservant, but not by a Naira, which he cannot sell her. Another Gemara says that's not a difficulty because Ketana lo yitzricha kra. For a minor herself, that the earnings go to the father, that we didn't need a pasuk in comparison to Amma. Because hashta zvunim azvunla, because if he could sell her as a slave, would you entertain to say that he doesn't get her earnings? Rather obviously, that, you're right, although the primary pasuk itself obviously is talking about a minor, because only a minor could be sold as an amma, but the superfluosity of it, of the pasuk, where it, there's a comparison of bitati amma, that must be, what's that hekesh for? Must be telling us only a naira, although that's not what the context of the pasuk is talking about, and not a ketana, because we don't need to compare a ketana to an amma to say that he gets the earnings as the master of the amma has, because a ketana, of course, he gets the earnings, because he could even sell her as a slave. Must be, it's telling us, for a naira, although he cannot sell her as a slave, but he does get her ma'isi daim. Now, the Gemara continues that the Mishnah said another right that the father has in his daughter is ba'faras nedir rao, is to nullify her vow. If she takes a vow, the father could say, nope, that's not something that you're taking. So the Gemara asks, where do we know that from? So that the Gemara said, that's a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, which in the context of hafaras nedarim, of nullifying the vows, the pasuk says that binu reho beisavir, when she's in her youth in her father's household, which means to say that it's in her father's domain, that the father has the rights of nullifying it. Now Rashi says, and why do you need this pasuk? This is an explicit pasuk that says kihenya via isa, that the father has the rights to hold her back. If not for these words of binu reho beisavir, we would have thought to say that's only by a katana, by a minor. But now that it says binu reho, even when she's in naira, that she's beisavir in her father's domain, that's how we know that even in nairas, the father has the rights of hafaras nedarim. Now finally, the Mishnah also said that he's a Mekabalas Gita, that the father could also accept her, get her divorce document. If she was only engaged, he could receive that, if she's still a Ketana or a Naira. So that thing says, Manola, where do we know that from? Tachsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, the Yatza Vahesa, in a different context where it says a woman gets divorced, so she leaves that husband, and then it says Vahesa, she goes and gets married, Le'ishachar, to another man. So Iskish Yitzil Avaya, so we see that the Pasuk equates leaving, meaning gerushin, to haisa, to avaya, to kedushin. And therefore, just like the father, as we proved in the previous daf, has the rights in his daughter's kedushin, so too he has the rights in his daughter's gerushin. He can receive the gerushin from the husband that was only engaged to her as long as she's a ketana or a naira. Now, however, the Mishnah told us, but ve'ena oichel peres b'chayah, the father does not consume the produce of the daughter's property. Now, that would be, for example, in the case of where the daughter inherited from her mother, let's say, father, where that was written in that grandfather's will that she gets it. So the father, it's obviously his daughter's, not his. The father does not get to consume the produce. Let's say that there's a piece of land that has trees and there's fruits. He doesn't get to consume the utility of it. Now, that the Gemara says, actually, this is a machlekes. Turn about in the Braisa. The Tanakama holds like the town of our Mishnah, that the father does not eat from the peiris. Again, peiris is a term that's used. It basically means to say not the carrot, not the principle, but just the utility of it or the produce stuff that are come out of the actual thing itself. He does not get it. He cannot use that when his daughter's alive. And when his daughter's dead, he obviously inherits her. But as long as she's alive, he does not use it. He argues, no, he does consume the peiris of his daughter's items that she inherited from somewhere else. Now that thing must, but my conflict, what are they arguing about? So the Gemara, the Tanakama Saba, which is like the Tanava Mishnah, holds that Bishlema Bal Tekina La Rabbanan Peri, as we're going to see and explain, and the Mishnah had quoted this, that the Baal has one more over the father, that he does eat the peiris of his wife's Nechasim when she's alive. Now, that makes sense because that the Rabbanan instituted that he should eat the peiris by the husband. Dimkein Mim Nebulei Park, because if we don't give him the peiris, then he's not going to redeem her when she's taken as a captive. Therefore, they instituted that he should get the peiris, as we'll say on Amud Beis, where it's called Upir Kaina Tachas Peiriseha, that he has to redeem her because of these peiris that we gave the rights for the husband to eat. And hence, the entire responsibility and the onus of redeeming her is on him, whether it's a lot or a little bit, the amount of the ransom money. Because had we said that we should leave her peiris and he should redeem her from those peiris, well, sometimes there's not going to be enough money from her estate that she has from those peiris to redeem her. But now that he eats the peiris, and now he has responsibility, he's going to pay from his own money, no matter how much it takes to ransom her. So that makes sense by the husband. But regarding the father, that Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda holds that even the father gets the pears, what would you say? The mimni b'lei parak, which is the same logic that is the reason why the husband eats the pears, because he's going to hold back and not redeem his daughter. But b'lav alchei parakla, which father is not going to redeem his daughter besides that he's going to redeem her? So there's no reason for us to institute that the father gets the pears of his daughter's property. So therefore, the Tanna Kamma argues from Rabbi Yehuda, like the Tanna of a Mishnah, and holds that the father does not eat the pears. But Rabbi Yehuda Sava, he argues, and he says, no. It's not true. The father also, there could be a situation where he won't ransom his daughter. Because Sava, he's going to think to himself, wait a second. Kise, there's a purse full of money, meaning this pears that comes from her property, that's Nikita Leva, that she has put aside for her. Now, up until now, I don't get to use any of these pears that she has. Now, Tezel v'tifrik nafsha, let her go, take all this money that she has, and redeem herself with all this money that she has. And if there's not enough, I'm not going to go ahead and supplement the rest. Because, what do you mean, she has all this money, let her go ahead and use it, I don't get any of it. So different beast who this says, the same svara applies to a father as it does to a husband. Where we give him the pears to eat, because if not, it might come a situation where he's going to be so upset about that and stubborn, he's not going to redeem his own daughter. So it applies the same as far as a husband, a pekuna tachas perasah. And that's the machlekes that we have in this braisa, which is related to the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, the Mishnah said, as we just mentioned this before, that nisus, when she gets married, yes, or love habal, the husband has even more than the father, shehu oichel v'chol, that he does eat the pears, in contrast to the opinion of the Tanna of our Mishnah, who holds not like a Rabbi Yehuda, that the father does not eat the pears b'chaya. Now, continuing on this theme of the rights that the husband has in his wife, so Tarbon Linda Brisa, if costs of law, if the father writes for his daughter, in other words, he sets in the her what's called her dowry in the nedunya of that he what he's giving to his daughter to bring into the marriage with her husband, that are movable items, for example, like peiros, which not like the term peiros we're using up until now, which means utility or the fruits of the land that she has, but rather means he gives her produce itself that is already detached from the ground, or ksus v'kelim, or garments and utensils, and he writes all these items that she's going to bring into the marriage. Already he writes this from when they just got engaged. She's bringing all this stuff, wagon loads full of stuff that her father's sending along with her to make it her new husband glad. Look how much she's coming along with. To go from her father's household to her husband's household. Now, unfortunately, Mesa, his daughter, this Kala, died during her engagement. So that the Tanna Kamma says, Leizach HaBal B'dvar Malalu. So the husband, the chassan that was engaged to her, does not inherit all these different items of the peris and the ksus and the kalim, although it was written in the ksuba, because since they never got married, he doesn't inherit these things. Mishum Reb Nosson Amru, however, in the name of Reb Nosson, they said that Zacha Bal B'dvar Malalu, that the husband does inherit, as he does when they're married, even now when they're just engaged, since the Ksuba is already written, he inherits all these things. So the Gemara says, Lema Beplukta Drebeloza Ben Azari Rabbana Kamifka. Let's say that what is this Machlekes Tanakami Reb Nosson is the same Machlekes as Drebeloza Ben Azari and Rabbana, which the Gemara will shortly explain that. What's going to come out that according to the one who says that the husband will inherit the nedunya even though they were only engaged, as Reb Nosson says, holds like the Rabbanon that they say, as we're going to shortly quote, that when he dies and he wrote a ksuba to her, that she collects everything, not just the mana or the masayim, which is what an almana or a basula always gets, which is generic, but even the tesefis, even the addition that he wrote to her, even that she will collect as an almana, even though she only died from erison. So what you see in the opinion of the Rabbanon is that obviously the ksuba is valid as if they had gotten married, as if they had nisuin. So therefore, Ibn Nosson holds the same thing is when she dies, he also inherits her dowry, which is also written into that same ksuba document. Because actually in the ksuba document, which is generally from him to her, in that same document is written that what's called Don Dunya Dehanalis Lemi Beavua Kach Vakach Vatsavi Va Islam Medile Kach Vakach. In other words, that it's written over there that not only that I have these responsibilities to you, but that her father, out of his own generosity, came and offered that this will be a dowry that she's bringing in to the marriage. So essentially, the Gemara says that this machlik is Reb Nosson and the Tanakhama is the same as Reb Elazar ben Azariah and the Rabbanon. Did not like we learn the Mishnah later on, Daf Nundalma Beis, that says Nisarma lo in Nisgarsha. If a woman gets widowed or divorced, which is when she collects her ksuba, now Beimin and Nisuin Beimin Erisin, whether that she was widowed or divorced from marriage or whether only from engagement, Goyves Hakol, she collects everything, whatever was written in that ksuba. Reb Elazar ben Azariah, I mean, he says, no, min ha-nisuin goyves hakol. If she's widowed or divorced from marriage, they were already married, then she collects everything from the ksuba, whatever was standard and whatever he adds on. But min ha-erisin, Reb Elazar ben Azariah says, if she's only widowed or divorced from the engagement, never got nisuin, then besula goyves mesayim. If she's a besula, she collects what's generic for besula, which is 200 zuz. And if almana, if she's a widow, then she collects what's generic for almana, which is a mana. As we continue on to Amud Beis, the reason being why she does not get the Tosefes, the additional part, if she's widowed or divorced from engagement, is she like cost of law ela benas lekainsa, because this that he wrote this ksuba for her, even though now when they're engaged, all this extra amount, he says, look, when if you get divorced from me, widowed from me, you're going to get thousands of dollars, is only with the intention that they were going to consummate the relationship. Since they never consummated, she doesn't get all that additional part. That's their machlekes. Does she get everything from Erison or only the basic mono messiah? So the Gemara says, Laman da Amar loy zacham. According to the opinion of the Tanakhama that said that she doesn't, that the husband, this machlik is the first machlik is Reb Nosson and the Tanakhama. That the Tanakhama said that the husband does not merit when his arusa, when the girl he was engaged to dies, and the father had said to her along with all these things that he does not get it, is Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Because he holds a Reb Elazar ben Azariah, who he says the same idea seemingly. That the ksuba that he wrote was only with the intention of that lekainza, that they're going to consummate the relationship. Now, the manum assign, which is generic that Rabbanan instituted, that she does get, because that's something that starts already from the takanas ksuba, which is already from the time of Erison. Now, therefore, the same thing you should say in regards to what they're arguing about. That she also only wrote for him, as we quoted this word before, v'don nedunya dehanalislei, only with the intention of that there's going to be nisuin. So therefore, that seemingly the Tanakhama of the first Machlekes is like Reb Elazar ben Azariah from the second Machlekes, that although a ksuba is written when they were just engaged, but that was only what's being added on more than the basic Takanas Chachamim, is only with the understanding there's going to be Nisuin. If there's no Nisuin, then you don't get those additions both from him to her, which is what Reb Elazar ben Azariah said, and both what the Tanakhama said, from her to him. Uman Dama Zacha, but according to Reb Nosson, who said that he does get what the father had written for his daughter coming in to the marriage with those Peris, Kses, and Kalim, is obviously Karabanan, who they said what he wrote extra for her is even from Arison. And I think Mar says lie. No, we don't have to say that that's the Machlekes parallels each other. Because the Kuleyama, truthfully, we could say that everybody, meaning those two Tanoim, Reb Nosson and the Tanakhama, they hold, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, they both hold like Reb Elazar ben Azariah. And the reason being, as Rashi says, because actually that's how we're going to pass in Allah Lamaisa. So we would rather prefer to say that they're both going Aliba de Hilchasa, according to the Halacha. Now, so Mandom Aloy Zacha, according to the opinion of Tanakhama that says that he does not get if she dies during Erison, that's Reb Elazar ben Azariah. That makes sense to say it's like Reb Elazar ben Azariah, who also says that what he wrote for her does not apply if she was widowed or divorced during Erison, because he need have Nisuin. But Mandom Zacha, according to Reb Nosson, who said that the husband does inherit what she had been coming in, even though she died during Erison, is because he qualifies. And he says, Atkan lekam Reb Elazar ben Azariah. Yes, Reb Elazar ben Azariah said that she's not going to get the Tosefes if it's from Erison. That's ela midideh ledida. That's only what's going from him to her, meaning what the chasen, the groom, had set aside for the kala in the ksuba, this Tosefes. The reason being is because when it's from him to her, you're right. What he's writing for her more than what he has to is only with the intention of that they're going to get married and he wants to have, let's say, a happy marriage. But when it's the other way around, going from her to him, which is what Reb Nosson is discussing, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, might even Reb Elazar ben Azariah would agree that he would get even if she dies during the engagement. And the reason is because Nemishum Ichtunehum. The reason why the father so gladly sends along his daughter with all these camelfuls of clothing and produce is because of what's commonly called the shidduch. He made a shidduch of chitun. by just having Arison, he already made the Shidduch. It wasn't because of the future understanding of what's going to be when they consummate the relationship. It's just about that they had made this Chitun, and Chitun was done, and therefore even if she dies during Arison, that was still something that he had given already, and therefore the husband has the rights in it, and therefore he inherits the Peretz Kesus of Kalim, according to Reb Nosson, even according to Reb Elazar ben Azariah, because it's different going from him to her than from her to him. Now the Mishnah said, Chayiv b'mezayin nesa'ah. It talked about all the responsibilities that a husband has to his wife. So the Gemara brings one brayis that qualifies the takanas chachamim of these responsibilities. Tiknu mezayin nesa'ah tachas ma'aseh yadeiha. The Rabbanan instituted that why does he have to feed her? Because he gets her earnings. Ukfarasa, why does he have to take care of her burial? Tachas ksubasa, because of her ksuba. Again, ksuba, although generally understood, is something that the husband writes for the wife. But that is, as we mentioned before, there's something called anadunya, a dowry that she brings to him. And actually, that's written into the shtar ksuba itself, that she's bringing this into the marriage, and he inherits that. So because of this gifting that he's getting, in place of that is the responsibility that he has to bury her. And the braisa concludes, lefikach ba'aloich peres. Therefore, the husband eats the produce of the wife's property. So the Gemara wonders, Paris Mandi Karshmai, where did that come in? Who said anything about him eating the Paris? So the Gemara says, Chasur Mech, Chasur Baruch Ketani, there's something missing. There was another, we spoke about two categories. There's actually a third category that was missing, and this is what the Braisa says. Tiknu Mezayin Nesa'ah Tachas Ma'aseh, as we said, that he has to feed her in place of this, that her earnings go to him. The one that was missing was Upirkoina Tachas Paris. He has to ransom her, he has to redeem her because of the Paris that he eats. Now, what does it mean he eats Paris? What type of properties does the wife has? It's what's called nichsei milug. Now, nichsei tzarim basel are properties that she totally brings into the marriage, which becomes, on some level, like the husband's. And then when they leave the marriage, then he gives it her as is. But then there's something called nichsei milug, which are the fluctuation of the properties in the state is all the wife's gain or loss. But it's something that the husband eats the produce, he gets to use it, has the utility. Now, nichsei milug would be either that it's something that she acquired after they had already been married, or even before they had married, but it wasn't put into the nedunya, into the ksuba, which would make it like the husband's. It's not the husband's, it's hers, but he gets to eat the produce. So in place of that, he has to ransom her. And the third one, as we mentioned before, ukvarasa techas ksubasa, that his responsibility is to bury her because of the nedunya that's written into ksuba, that he inherits that. And that's what the Braisa concluded. Lefikach ba'aloich peres. That's why there's such a phenomenon that the husband consumes the peres of the wife's nichsei milug, again, because of his responsibility of redeeming her. So the Gemara says, my lefikach. We didn't say by any one of the other ones that that's why the husband gets her earnings, that's why the husband gets her ksuba. It doesn't say why by that one does it say lefikach. So the Gemara explains, because ma'ad detem, we would have thought to say that although, yes, that she doesn't get her peres, because it's the husband's responsibility to redeem her, but we would have thought to say that mechaloi nechlinu, that actually he should not consume it. Rather, anuche ninchinu, the rights that he has to her peris, because he has to redeem her, he might have to shell out thousands of dollars or whatever it is because of what they're asking to ransom her. So rather, he should put it on the side. Every time her field makes money, put it onto the side. Dim kain, because if he would eat the peris, mimna b'loi parag, so when the time comes, he's not going to want to shell out so much money to ransom her. And therefore, rather, he's going to say, I don't have enough money. So rather, we would think to say that, no, don't eat it. The pay is put on the side. So when the time comes that he has to redeem her, he'll have money to go to Kamash Malan, that actually, the Hadifa. Actually, that he does consume the pay is actually better. Why? Because Zimnan Dulei Molu, there are going to be times that the pay that her Nichsei Malug produced is not enough to cover how much they're demanding for the ransom. Now, but now that we say that he eats the pears, and he doesn't know, obviously, he's not keeping track of how much he's eating because he always uses it and consumes the pears. So therefore, uparak lemidi day, he's going to have to redeem from his own money. And that was what the takana was, that he should eat no matter how much amount of the produce there is. And then the responsibility of redeeming her is going to be also no matter how much amount that is. And that's better because sometimes her pears will not cover. And that's why we say, lefikach. That's what the figure ba'aloich peres. That's exactly what we do want. That's why he eats the peres, so that she could have perkuna, that she'll be ransomed no matter how much they're asking. Now the Gemara asks on the braisa that spoke about three different correlating categories, what his responsibility is, and therefore the rights that he has in his wife. The Gemara asks for epachano. Maybe say the other way around. Maybe say that the reason why he has to feed her is because he eats her peiros. And maybe the reason why he has to redeem her is because he gets her earnings. Now, what's the difference? Either way, he has to give her that and she has to give him that. The difference is, as Rashi says, because of, let's say she says what's a famous Talmudic phrase where she says, Einin ezen ez ve'eini oise. She says, look, I'm not going to get fed from you. I don't need your favors and my earnings don't go to you, and she has those rights. But if we're saying that actually that her mezainis is not correlating to my esidayim, then it's like she said nothing. So it is important for us to know what correlates to what, so that she could say, look, I don't need your favors, and therefore what you have rights to me, you don't get. So David the Gemara is asking, maybe it's the other way around. So that Amabayi says, no. Tiknu matzu lematzu. The rabbi's institution has a logic to it, which is that what is commonplace correlates to what's commonplace, meaning a woman's sustenance is a normative thing. So to her earning money is also a normative thing. So that they correlate each other. The she'ena matzah is something that's not common, was for something that's not common. It's not common for a woman to be taken as a captive. And it's also not common for a woman to have nichsim luk, to have properties that are her own, that's not in the domain of the marriage that the husband has. And therefore, they correlate each other. Now, relating to this, that we said that in the previous brisa that they were mesakin the mezainis, tachas ma'is yedayim. So Amar Rava, he actually says that Haitana, the Tana that he's about to quote, Savar Mizainis Midiraisa, actually holds that the sustenance that the woman gets from the husband is not a rabbinic institution in place of that of her earnings. Rather, it's actually a biblical obligation. The Tana, like we learned the Braisa. And there's many different interpretations that we're going to quote in how to interpret this pasuk that the Gemara brings. Now this pasuk is in Shmeis Chaval of Pasuk Yud that actually talks about marrying one's maidservant. But it's understood in the context of marrying any woman. It says in Macheres Yikachle that if, let's say, he marries another woman besides this wife, but, however, She'era, Ksusa, Vainasa Leigra, he cannot diminish her She'er, her Ksus, and her Oina. That's the discussion of this Raisa, defining what these elements are that's a husband's responsibility to his wife. And one of them, as according to the first opinion in this Raisa, says She'era, what's She'era? Elu mezainis. This is the sustenance, and therefore we see that the Tana of this Braisa, as Rav is pointing out, holds that sustenance for a wife is a biblical obligation. And v'cheinu oimer, so do we find in Pasuk and Micha that she'er means sustenance, where it says v'asha ochlu she'er ami, that they ate the mezainis, the food of my nation. So we see that she'er means mezainis. What does kesusai mean? It means kemashmoy. It means like literally, which kesus means the garments. Not only does he have to feed her, he has to clothe her. And what does oinasa mean, her oina? Zu oina hamur batayra, this is the oina, the set obligations of cohabitation that the husband has to the wife, that he also cannot diminish. It's a biblical obligation. V'cheinu oimer, so too says opposing in Bereshis, im ta'anes benoisai, where Laban tells Yaakov that if you're going to afflict my daughters, where that means to say that if you're not going to give them the tashmish, the cohabitation that's necessary, if you're going to take other wives. So we see that Oina is a reference to the obligation of Tashmish, which is something that a husband has to a wife. That's one interpretation. Now, Rabbi Lazar, I mean, he says a different interpretation. He actually says that She'era zu Oina. He says what the Tanakam had said Oina is. He says actually that's what She'era is. Actually, that's what the Pasuk of Yikra says. Ish ish al kol She'er besari, every man to the relative of his flesh. Le sikrivu legal servit should not come close to the revealed of nakedness, meaning to have intimacy. So we see that intimacy is used in the context of she'er. So therefore, the she'er that he has an obligation is oina. Kesusa kemashma, as we said, that means he has to call her. And oinasa elamazain is actually the last term, the opposite of the Tanakama, that he says that's a reference to feeding her. V'cheinu oimer, so too says the pasuk in Devarim, it says, vaya'ancha vaya'rivecha, that he afflicted you and he hungered you. So we see that oina is a reference of eating, and therefore we see that the obligation of oinasa is a reference to mezainis. We continue on top of Memchasim and Aleph, where Belezer ben Yaakov, a third interpretation, he learns out from the smichus, that the having the terms she'er, ksus, and oina, each one that's near the other term, we learn out a certain halacha. She'er, ksusa, from the comparison of the obligation of she'er, which literally means flesh, and kesus, which is the obligation for garments, he learns leform she'era, according to the flesh of the woman, of that specific wife, ten kesus, and that's the type of garments you have to give her. What does that mean? Shli'itin la, lo'yishal yalad lezikena, that he shouldn't give his wife garments that are for younger women to an older woman, And neither should he give garments of an older woman to a younger wife. Meaning, that's because it's very difficult for an elderly woman to carry heavy and elaborate garments. And therefore she can't sustain that. So you can't give an older woman these young, stylish, challenging type of clothing. Whereas in contrast, a younger wife needs these wide, elegant, elaborate types of clothing to beautify herself with it. And that's what he learns from She'era and Kesusa, where the proximity of these two terms is to teach that the Kesus is according to the She'er. Similarly, the proximity of Kesusa Vainasa, her garments in regarding to her Aina. Now what does that mean? Lefumay Nasa, according to her time, meaning according to the season, depending if it's hot or cold, that's the type of garments you have to give her. What does that mean? Shleyitin Chadoshim, that he shouldn't give her new garments, which are much hotter than already worn out garments, in the summer months, because that's too hot. And neither should he give her worn out garments in the winter, because that's going to be too cold. And therefore we see that the Ksus is both similar to the She'er and both similar to Aina. Now the Gemara brings a fourth interpretation in this pasuk. Tanya Rav Yosef, Yosef taught that She'era Zukir of Basa. It's a literal translation of a pasuk we brought before. She'er means flesh, and therefore in reference to the intimacy of a husband and wife, it means to say that they have to have the closeness of their skin, of their flesh. What does that mean? Shleyinik ba minik parsim, that he should not conduct himself in intimacy with his wife as the Persians did. Shemesham shemitei sein bilvushin, that they would have intimacy with their clothing. And here we're saying that no, she'era has to be with skin. And the Gemara says, Misayel Rav Huna, that supports Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, Ha'omer efshi, if someone says, it's not possible for me, Elani bebigdi vehi bebigda, I can only have intimacy, me wearing my garments and her wearing her garments, I can't have it any other way. So Rav Huna says, Yeitzi v'noisin ksuba. So he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. It's something that he's in the wrong, even though this is something he might be doing for religious reasons, doesn't make a difference. The obligation, the Torah says, is she'er, which is kirv basar, and therefore, as Rav Huna says, if he doesn't want that, then it's his obligation to divorce her and give her a ksuba.